proof of evolution?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Do you know what the evidence for evolution would look like?
Well, you're saying that it's fact, so that means you have to have evidence of it, right? So that's on you to prove that it's that you to show your evidence.
Yeah, but I need to know if you even know, if I showed you evidence, would you even know that it is evidence? Because people tend to shift the goalpost and run away from this.
Oh, yeah, as long as it's 100% factual evidence, sure. Don't, but I mean, carbon dating's false. Carbon dating is not
accurate. Carbon dating is proven to be true because we've dated things. Yeah, that's
carbon dating is not accurate at all.
No, it is accurate. We've dated, for example, Pompeii to exactly when the eruption took place.
Sorry, it's not accurate. Sorry.
Okay, that's false. We've dated archaeological sites that we know how old they are to the dates that they are using carbon dating.
I'll show you evidence that's false. As soon as you show me evidence that you that evolution's true, I'll show you
that. What would the evidence look like?
That carbon dating's false?
No, for evolution.
Whatever you want it to be. I want you to... there isn't any. That's why I'm saying you can't prove it. That's why you're
fucking
up here
wrecked,
saying
nerd.
False statements. But anyways, carbon dating...
Look at the screen and get... Look at the screen and get wrecked, nerd.
Carbon dating is false because... Carbon dating is false because it measures the carbon that we inhale or we...
Look at the screen, dipshit. He's waiting to come up with his next schizophrenic rant before
he
unmutes
himself. Is that a monkey? What is, I mean,
nope.
That's all just a bunch of skulls.
All of those are apes and hominins, every single one of them. Transitions all the way up to modern Homo sapiens.
Okay, so then why are there still monkeys? If we're the superior, if evolution is to prove that we to evolve into the superior being, if we're the superior beings, why are there still monkeys?
According to evolution, there would still be monkeys.
False.
So this is a...
That's false. According to evolution, you should...
Nope. It's not how it works.
That is 100% how it works. You would evolve into the superior being.
Nope.
If we are the superior being, then there shouldn't be any monkeys. Proof that
false.
Evolution
false.
Is false.
Nope.
Thank you for proving my point.
The thing we evolved from doesn't exist anymore. It went extinct. But there are other...
No, false.
There are other organisms that belong to the different taxonomic brackets we exist in. Hey, if there are English bulldogs, if there are American bulldogs, how can there be English bulldogs? Answer the question.
Because there's two different species. I don't understand.
Oh, okay. And there are different species of monkey. The species we evolved from no longer exists, but the other species of monkey do
it's
still
a different
exist. So congratulations, you answered your own question. You now know how evolution works. You proved that your question is stupid, according to you.
No, your question is stupid.
I made
you prove
that your own line of logic
it.
Is stupid.
No, you can't
I've gotten
prove
pretty
it,
good at doing this,
I
making them
you
admit
can't.
That evolution is true and that the evidence works with it.
There is no evidence, my
I
dude,
just showed you
no
the evidence.
You didn't show me any evidence at all. That's not evidence.
Yes,
you
it
showed
is.
Me a picture of skulls.
Yeah.
How is that?
Different skulls. If humans evolved, then there would have to be evidence of humans in the past with smaller brain cases, for example. And that's exactly what I showed you.
No, false. You
no, that is what I showed you.
That didn't prove anything. You took a picture of different skulls and said, this is
if humans evolved, then they would have to go through this specific progression. We have this specific progression, ergo humans evolved. I have evidence.
No, wrong. That's wrong. I'm saying that's false.
I know you're saying that. That's because you're an idiot.
Okay. Where's your next evidence then?
Genetics.
Genetics. Okay, let's go. Where's the next
all life on the planet shares genes. Oh, you concede that point too? So you want the next one? Okay, comparative anatomy.
No, I want to see the evidence of that. Where's the genetics evidence?
Okay. 2005. This is old. Okay, are you ready?
All right, well, first off, I can't even see what webpage that is. That could be WikiLinks, which is false.
It is the National Institutes of Health. So,
okay, thank you.
And this is out of date. This is from 2005, but humans and chimpanzees share common ancestry. The difference in the genomes is approximately so this is a genome comparison. Okay, well, that's fine. So genetic-wise, we're 98.5 roughly percent similar. Genome-wide, you can get different answers, but the range, it depends on if you compare the entire genome or just single nucleotide polymorphisms or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, well,
you get
share,
an answer between 85 and
95%
when doing that.
DNA with pigs too, but nobody says that we evolved from pigs. So
of course not. We're 95%. We didn't. Nobody says we evolved from chimps either.
5% is a huge amount. 5% is.
Does anybody say we evolved from chimps?
You just did, my dude.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I said we're related.
No, your little.
No, I. No, not
your
no.
Little picture
I
before,
said we're related.
Your little picture before. Just you just said it was.
I never said that we came from chimps. We're related to chimps.
I'm walking you like a dog. Come on now. Come on now. Keep up. Keep up. Keep up. Your own evidence just proved that we evolve, air quotes, from monkeys. And then I say 5% is a lot. That means that there's a lot. Excuse me? It's not? Do you know how much DNA is in 5%? It's billions.
I think
of
it's.
Atoms.
I think it's 5%.
Billions.
I think
of
5% of your DNA is roughly equivalent to 5%.
Is billions of atoms. 5% is billions of atoms.
Wow, you know big number, scary. Is?
Yeah, you know how big. You know how much difference there is in that.
5%. Yeah.
Huge. That's huge.
Yeah. You're once again asking me if I know how much 5% is. It's 5%.
No, yeah, sure. But that's huge, huge number. You said 5%. Yeah.
And guess what? No other animal 1%. Shares that much DNA with chimpanzees. Only we share that much with them. We share more DNA with them than they do with gorillas.
Okay, and margin is 1% away from being plastic, but it's still margin. So
margarine, you mean?
Margarine. Margin. What did I say? Margin? Yeah. Margarine.
You said something stupid, yeah.
So, I mean, you can call me stupid. Just proves how stupid you are because you can't defend yourself.
I am rubber. You are glue. Yeah, whatever you say to me bounces off and sticks to you.
Well, I know.
You
can't.
You have the cognitive faculties of a 5-year-old.
Prove me wrong, so you have to
congratulations.
Name calling. Can't prove me wrong, so you have to stick to name calling.
Anyways, I made you prove you wrong, and I showed you the evidence.
No, you haven't proved me wrong yet, man. You haven't proved me wrong yet. 5% is ungodly amount of numbers.
No, it's ungodly a really small amount.
No, it's not. 5% is like billions of atoms. You know how much, like I said, 1%
of
margin.
If 5% is billions of atoms, then the remaining 95% that we share is 20 times more than that. So congratulations.
But
if there's billions of differences, then take whatever that number is, take it times 20, because 5 times 20 is 100. You wouldn't know that. 5 times 20 is 100. And that's how much we share.
1% and 5% changes everything. Everything. Nope. Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
Changes everything, such as what? Name one thing that it changes.
Okay. I will go back to the margarine thing. It is 1% away from being plastic. But it's not. That changes everything. That's only 1%.
Name one thing that the 5% genome difference between us and chimpanzee changes.
Sure, I can do that. We have control, exterior control of our limbs better than chimpanzees and monkeys. That's in that 5%.
What does that mean?
It means chimpanzees can't control how hard they grab something.
Okay.
They don't have it in their brain.
A chimpanzee could tear your face off of your face. I don't know how else to say it. Off of your skull. Therefore, yeah.
What? That's what I'm saying.
No, that's not what you're saying. That's you didn't say that. You said that a chimpanzee can't control how hard they grasp things. I just told you how strong they are.
Yeah.
So that's not what you're saying. I would never say what you're saying. I would never stoop to that level.
Part of the 5%, my dude. They can't vocalize like we can. They cannot use language.
You can't climb trees like they can.
I can climb a tree.
Not like they can.
No, not like they can. But that's fine. That proves it, that we're even farther away from them.
Well, it proves that they're superior to you.
Well, I mean, if I needed to climb up trees, then yeah, they'd be superior. But yeah, I don't need to do that.
And you do.
Because I have a way bigger brain and a more complex brain. So
you know. I can,
again, name calling because you can't defeat me.
What name did I call
I'm walking you? I'm walking you like a dog.
What name did I call you?
Thank God. Hell yeah. Thank God I won this one. I needed it. Thanks, man.
You sound like a guy that needs a lot of things.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for making yourself look like an idiot, dude.
Well, it ran away. Okay.
I'm just saying, if humans came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? You can't have an atmosphere next to a vacuum. The Big Bang violates the second law of thermodynamics. Everything that's created requires a creator. Show me curvature. There are no missing links. Evolution has never been observed. The Earth is only 6,000 years old.
How do you explain it? Like, I don't believe that we evolved from, like, monkeys into humans. I don't believe that, but I still believe that there is some type of evolution, just not that.
Well, what if I showed you evidence of exactly that thing happening?
Well, let me see.
Sure. What the heck? Ah. It's going to take a second for the page to refresh. Bada bing, bada boom. Now, this does have a chimpanzee on it. I wish it didn't, so ignore the chimpanzee on the top right. But a whole bunch of these other ones, these are our ancestors. Well, the Neanderthals aren't our ancestors. They're our cousins. But
the Neanderthal? Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, we didn't evolve from Neanderthals. Them and us are cousins.
Do you believe there was a creator or no?
I mean, I used to, and I believed in evolution back then too, but I don't believe in God anymore.
Oh, okay. I just, the reason that kind of helps me is because, like, even me looking at the, like, if I was like, I don't believe in God, but then I look at the world and how science say everything, how everything works, especially with space, the solar system, and how the planets move around, and it's kind of like they're perfectly in, I wouldn't say perfectly, but like they're kind of in sync, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've been flying through space for billions of years, and to this day, today we're not hitting nothing, we're not going off course, none of that. And so it's like, even if we went based off of, even if we came from those evolution of the monkeys and showing that, how would we get here if there was nobody who created us?
Well, we get here through evolution, but like the dinosaurs all got fucking kablooied by an asteroid plus a couple of other things. Like that thing you were talking about, it does happen. It has happened. Events like that have killed countless organisms. Most things that have ever lived have gone extinct. And yeah, I mean, we exist, but actually, all those other things, actually, they had to die before we could begin existing, because it created the niche that allowed, you know, it goes back before us, but it created the niche that allowed us to eventually exist in. But we know there have been bottlenecks for humans too. There was a eruption tens of thousands of years ago that killed almost every single human on the planet. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I don't know, in some parts of the world, people are a little bit more immune to the diseases that are there, But that only happened after countless men, women, and children died. But those that were lucky enough to have a genetic quirk that made them, you know, a little bit more hardy, I guess, to or resistant to whatever that disease is, they survived and they had children, and it drove further changes like that. So, no, none of that seems consistent with a god to me. That all seems. This is essentially the problem of evil, actually, because countless, like incalculable amounts of death and suffering are a necessary part of the process that produced us naturalistically. So I just don't see that. I don't think that actually can work with the God that people typically believe in.
With there being, or with your, like with the evolution, one thing that confused me as well is like, if we really started like that, what's the point of birth? Like being able to keep reproducing that way. If, you know, we just, even if those things were to evolve, is it like, did it change? Like, is no more people are going to evolve anymore? Or is it like a one-time thing? From the start of how humans came here, like, how do I explain it? Like, you got the beginning, right, of how the humans started, and they evolve into becoming what we are today. But Is it just done? Is there not going to be no different, like, set? Like, can that not happen anymore? And how does birth work with evolution?
Well, okay, in terms of the future of human evolution, I don't know, because we are now separate from the environment so much that things that used to kill people in huge numbers no longer do. I mean, hundreds of millions of people just in the last like 30 years or so have been saved just for controlling the five most common infectious diseases. We've saved hundreds of millions of lives. It's actually pretty insane. You know, in the past, if you were diabetic, your life expectancy was 35, something like that. Diabetics can live into their 60s, 70s, or 80s just fine. So there's so much, like, we've removed ourselves from nature. So the future of human evolution, I expect at this point, our ability to just edit our genes ourselves is going to be drastically stronger than our genes being filtered by nature, which is what natural selection is. So that makes it kind of impossible to predict what the future is going to look like. So I don't worry too much about that. But this thing you're asking about, like, what does birth have to do with evolution? I don't get the question.
What I'm trying to say is, like, you know how, so we're able to give birth, or not us, but, you know, the human race is able to give birth. And what I'm trying to figure out is, how would that work if it was just all an accident? Like, how would that be able to happen the way that birth works?
Oh, okay. So, what you're really, I mean, you're kind of talking about birth. You're also talking about sexual reproduction, because like some animals, they just pinch off a piece of themselves and then it grows.
That's
a form of reproduction, but it's not, there's no birth. I wouldn't say. So I looked into this. I wrote this book. I started writing it last year. It came out earlier this year, because I didn't really see very many people talking about this. And I wanted to know, because what people ask is, well, how did a male and a female just all of a sudden evolve? Now, that's part of sexual reproduction, obviously. So what we can actually see currently is there are these organisms. They're called slime molds do this, I believe. They have what's called a mating type. So what that means is, it's very strange. They're single-celled organisms, but what they do is some of the cells, when they meet up, they'll absorb each other. And then from that point, they split and divide, and then they just go on. They go back to being a unicellular slime mold that way. So that's what a sperm and an egg do. They fuse, but then we're multicellular, so the divisions happen. But these mating types are really interesting because they don't interact with there's distinct mating types, and they won't absorb. I don't know what the correct terminology is, but they won't reproduce with the same mating type. They only do it with different mating types. And so from there, all that really happens is the organism has to just become a colony or a cluster of cells, but maintain the mating types, the certain cells that find other cells that are like them, but of a different type, and then get absorbed by them. That produces, you know, the new living cell. And then, you know, cell divisions happen. I wish I could remember it all off the top of my head better. I mean, I could just read straight from the thing, but I don't think I'll do that.
No, that's crazy. That's good. You explained it good.
We've found that kind of thing before. And then we also know of examples in nature today that seem to do a pretty good job of representing like intermediates in there. Like there are some animals that do sexual reproduction, but they can fertilize their own eggs because they're hermaphroditic. There are hermaphroditic animals like snails that can both produce sperm and eggs, but they can't fertilize themselves, their own eggs. They can only do it with partners. We see a pretty broad gradation of sexual reproduction in the not just in the animal world, but in the plant world too. And that makes way more sense if it evolved, because evolution tries out different things and certain ways of living become successful and then they stick in the environment. But, you know, there's more than one way to evolve and live as an organism. So certain traits have evolved multiple times. So that's, you know, an example, I think.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, bro. Appreciate the talk for real.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna back out, but I'm gonna still be in here listening.
Yeah, no, that's no problem at all. Thanks for coming up.
Yes, sir.
I thought that would be more hostile because his name was like CJ for Christ or something like that. I might actually just read this excerpt out of here. Because it's pretty short, so. Free book preview for everybody. What's the timestamp in Dr. Blitz's life where he talked to the cokehead guy? For that unapologetic live stream, I'm at 3 hours and 8 minutes and 55 seconds. And that's a few minutes into it. So go to 3 hours and 5 minutes, roughly. Chris Archer, I see you waiting there, but I'm gonna go over this thing real quick. Evolution would have to produce a male and a female of the same species to work. Evolution deniers never get speciation right. Their version of it inevitably resembles Pokemon. The full version of this argument claims that a species would have to evolve both a male and a female simultaneously, or else the new species couldn't breed. As a rule, no species ever gives birth to a new species. The only exceptions are rare hybridization events. Speciation occurs gradually among populations. Populations that become separate diverge slowly, eventually becoming distinct species. It's exactly like language. New languages don't pop up when two people magically begin speaking in words nobody else in the world does. Entire groups slowly change over time, with small changes accumulating into big ones. If the skeptic is wise, they may change the question to ask how biological sex could have evolved in the first place. Like speciation, sex evolved gradually from simpler reproductive systems that already worked in populations. The earliest life forms reproduced asexually, and many still do. However, even asexually reproducing organisms, occasionally transfer genetic material between individuals. Example, bacterial conjugation. Sexual reproduction is only done by eukaryotes. You can't have male or female bacteria. But how can you go from eukaryotes that don't have biological sex to ones that do? Don't you have to have sperm-producing males and egg-producing females both evolving for sex to work? It turns out sexual reproduction almost certainly predates biological sex. Many simpler unicellular eukaryotes have mating types. These organisms are not split into distinct biological sexes, but they do come in multiple varieties. Members of the same species that are the same mating type cannot reproduce with themselves or each other, but they're indistinguishable from other members. Instead, they fuse with the other mating type, briefly doubling their DNA, then quickly split and start the process over again. The advantage is that these organisms accumulate greater genetic diversity since they can only breed with a different type. That would have been... I should have brought that up. I should have remembered to bring that up because that's why it's advantageous. From there, organisms could evolve to become multicellular, with one cellular region maintaining half the DNA and the rest containing duplicate DNA. This is exactly what organisms like us do. We have gamete-producing haploid cells and non-reproductive diploid somatic cells. And if you look at animals might be like sort of the exception instead of the norm in a weird kind of way. Well, we would have started out that way. Because if you look at moss, which is what bryophytes, which are some of the more ancient and primitive plants, actually their entire body is haploid. It's only the reproductive stalk that produces the diploid cells. And then the reproductive stalk, I can't remember exactly how the life cycle for that works. Because it's weird. It's not like the kind of sexual reproduction that we're all used to. But so yeah, their bodies are haploid and then the reproductive part is diploid. But in us, it's the other way around. It's kind of strange. Alternatively, the reproductive region can remain diploid, releasing haploid cells, while the body of the organism remains haploid, as in the case of mosses, liverworts, and hornworts. So if I would have literally just kept reading, it says that in the book. Oh, where Blitz argued with Indio, that might be hard to find. Crucially, this wasn't an abrupt leap requiring both sexes to mutate in sync. It was a long population-wide transition in which intermediate forms continued to reproduce just fine. Modern organisms still exhibit all stages of this spectrum. We have bacteria that can swap genes, fungi with dozens of mating types, single-celled eukaryotes with primitive sex cycles, multicellular hermaphrodites, animals that can change sex, and species with fully differentiated male and females. Every step of the process is seen in organisms that still exist today. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.